And so I'm having a wonderful time, but I'd rather be whistling in the dark. Whistling in the dark. Whistling in the dark. Whistling in the dark. Whistling in the dark.
Previously on Beer Coasters.
Let's crack it.
A little roasted roastiness.
It's definitely like a better sweet.
Yeah, right off the bat, I'm getting...
We gotta make some beer to go with all this cheese.
See how clever we are?
I didn't mean to frighten you prematurely. The real chills come later. Now, as they say, look alive, and we'll continue our little tour. And let's all stay together, please.
Hello, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. Whoa. I'm your host this week. This is Chris in Dallas, Texas, and joining me, as always,
is Mike finishing his leftover pizza.
Finished chewing.
From Boston, Massachusetts.
And Toby from Las Vegas, Nevada.
And happy Halloween, everybody. This would be our Halloween episode.
For tonight's
episode, we're concentrating on a dark theme. So I think all of the beers that we're trying tonight have a dark or night kind of theme to them.
Yeah.
For the fermentation conversation, I wasn't able to find it.
Or we should say.
But they were.
Boo.
So,
boo.
So they're going to be trying the Deschutes Hop in the Dark. And then for the tasting flight, Mike, what are you trying?
Oh, man, you always catch me chewing. All right. For my for my tasting flight this week, I'm trying Pretty Things Beer and Ale Projects, St. Boltuff's Town Rustic Dark Ale.
St. Boltuff's.
Boltuff's.
St. Boltuff's Town, nice. Yes.
Toby, how about you?
I'm trying Maritime Pacific's Night Watch Dark Ale.
Ooh, Night Watch.
And I am trying Jolly Pumpkin. What?
Said Night Watch sounds like a bad 80s TV show.
I think it probably was a bad 80s TV show. And I'm trying the Jolly Pumpkin Bam Noir Dark Farmhouse Ale.
Dark Farmhouse.
Which should be very, very interesting.
Sounds yummy.
From there, we'll move into...
Like the sound of that.
Like me some Dark Farmhouse.
Before our tasting flight, we'll be doing our hop topics. We got a little bit of a Halloween-themed discussion to have.
Yeah.
Then we'll move into the tasting flight, then the tweet of the week, backwash, last call. Mm-hmm. All the normal, you know, stuff.
Our Beer normal stuff.
Do every week. And
normal?
This is the abnormal show.
I don't know. I guess after 75 episodes, we could probably call them normal at this point.
Yeah.
For us, anyway.
75!
75 episodes! 75.
I'm ready to drink some beer.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Let's do it.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna drink some beer. Yeah, this is a fermentation conversation.
Oh, man, that was creepy.
Speaking of dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take it.
That was the plan.
This is the hop in the dark. from Deschutes Brewery out of Bend, Oregon. They've been brewing since 1988. The brewmaster on this particular series, which is the Bond Street series, was Larry Sidor. You can check him out on the internet at www.deschutesbrewery.com. The style is a Cascadian dark ale, according to Deschutes. And I think that they pretty much coined the term Cascadian dark ale.
There's been a little bit of a debate about that. The black IPA versus Cascadian dark ale. Who was first?
Yeah, but I think we talked about it months ago on a Hop Topic or something. Rate Beer has 25 black IPAs listed, and this is like number, I don't know, 6 or something like that. This comes in at 6.5% ABV with 75 IBUs. The hops used are Cascade, Citra, and Centennial. The malts are Munich and Crystal. You can find this May through September. And an interesting note, as part of their Bond Street series, which also includes the Hop Henge and the Hop Trip. Rate Beer gives this a 98 out of 100 with a 96 to the Black IPA style and an A- from the Allstrom. No, an A- from the Beer Advocate users. Nothing from the brothers.
Nothing Cracker. From the brothers.
That was the problem that I had today.
In all fairness, we don't get Deschutes out here.
I couldn't find the Hop in the Dark because everybody's got the Hop Trip now.
Oh, is that it?
Oh, the season. Yeah.
I'd been seeing it forever.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, you're good. Go for it.
Black.
I just want to say that this style was originated in Vermont. From as much of the reading that I've done, it's from Greg Noonan in Vermont. I think he was part of like the Vermont Brew Pub. He died, I'm not sure how long ago, but they said that he brewed this back in the 90s. So. And they had like record of it of his actual recipe, which I forget what they called it back then. But and the BJCP I think calls it a India Black Ale. I think as far as the style goes,
IBA. So it pours out straight up black.
Yeah, it's
there's
dark.
Really no highlights. Very dark. I started with about a finger of off white head.
I got about a Yeti finger
on the nose.
Good old
smells, kind of musty.
It's like a dirty citrus.
Yeah. I was gonna say dusty also. So it's like a
dusty, dirty
a
citrus.
Dirty or dusty citrus.
It almost has some like
kind of grassy too.
It had kind of almost like some ruby highlights or something as you're pouring it. It kind of had almost like a like a molasses.
It's poured out
brown.
It looked like I was pouring out a cola, you know, like a Pepsi or something like that.
Good head retention. I still got, a good finger and a half ahead.
There's even some coffee on the nose. Ugh. Taking a sip.
I'm going to take a sip, too.
Taking a sip,
yeah.
Ooh.
Wow. It's good because you get all that good citrusy hop from the IPA, and then you get that almost like a caramely or like a cocoa-ness to the malt. It's
a little bit of roastedness. It's very clean and very dry. It's not. There's nothing syrupy about it at all. It finishes very, very clean. Nice bitter aftertaste.
I got some of that kind of roasted maltiness that kind of sits on the tongue, but you're right, it does have kind of a nice dry finish.
A little piney. It's like a piney dry finish.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some grapefruit.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I like about these darker, lighter beers, like the black lagers and these type beers.
The darker, lighter? See, now black IPA is making a lot more sense.
Yeah. it's very, it's not heavy. I mean, you look at it and you're like, oh, there's a dark beer I'm about to drink, so it's got to be super heavy and whatever, but it's not. It's very light. It's just like an IPA, but it's just roasted. It's like a roasted roasty IPA.
Yeah, like
nice.
A roasted IPA. That's a good description, actually. If I were going to pair this, I think something like a... Something maybe with a chipotle pepper sauce of some sort. Maybe some chicken or something with kind of a good, like,
chipotle
smoky pepper sauce
would
go pretty well
it,
with this.
Sounds like the perfect... Kind of because you get the spiciness of the pepper that would pair well with the IPA side of things, and then you get the roastiness
mm-hmm.
of a chipotle being a roasted pepper with the kind of black
yeah.
roasted side of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. Nice.
Thanks. I do what I can here on the Beer Coasters podcast.
I was going to say a peppered steak. I don't know if any other sides, maybe even mashed potatoes or something like that. Garlic mashed potatoes or something.
Yeah,
like that.
That's actually be pretty good. Or even, yeah, I like that. Because I'd be curious to see how like a green pepper matches with this too. It'd be kind of interesting to, I think you'd get a lot more of the smokiness and the roastedness from the beer, from the beer, having something like that with the, like a green pepper. I don't know. Anyway.
Sweet.
Check it out if you get a chance. Deschutes Brewery. Hop in the dark. Yeah.
Oh, no. We have to change it again.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
Well, all right.
Tip is.
So for our Hop Topic this week, we're going to talk a little bit about an article we pulled off of beernews.org about Lost Abbey. Apparently there's a little bit of controversy over one of their recent beers.
Now, where's Lost Abbey from?
That would be San Marcos, California.
Oh.
San Diego.
San Diego County.
So they have their Witch's Wit beer, which is a malt beverage brewed with honey and spices. And
not brewed with witches.
No. Although you may be led to believe that based on the label.
I just want to make that clear.
So the label is, it's basically a picture, a drawing of a witch being burned at the stake with a bunch of monks or whatever around them watching her burn.
Yeah, apparently this a bodiless, just a bunch of blank faces of onlookers.
Yeah.
Watching them.
And so apparently this has upset the, pagan community. What's the fun? That's what they're called.
Don't forget your goat leggings.
I went to school with witches. I went to school in a town that bordered Salem, Massachusetts, and I went to school with witches. So,
wow.
This is why it's so interesting to me, and I'm very conflicted about, you know, how I feel, because I'm not sure how I feel about this, to be honest.
Did you bang one of them?
We'll save that.
Are you a witch banger?
Mike's a witch banger. That's awesome. So
he's not saying anything. He's just smiling.
The article goes into to talk about how they've, like, some people have reached out to the brewery to try to get them to change the label and whatnot. There's a section in it where it talks about somebody had gone out to the brewery and the head brewer, Sage Osterfeld, or no, that they had gotten an email from Mr. Marsaglia, who is one of the co-founders of the brewery, saying that he was totally in favor of changing the label and whatever. But then Sage Osterfeld, who's, I guess, one of the other co-founders, basically said, well, hold on, not so fast. We haven't decided on whether or not we want to change the label.
Right. And if we do, it'll be conveniently after Halloween.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting as well.
All right.
Well, okay. Here's the thing.
You better run out and grab your Witch's Wit bottles. You better buy them now.
Yeah. It'll be collector's
items.
Maybe
worth something.
Here... like I said, I'm not sure how I feel about this, because on the one hand, it shouldn't be that big of a deal because it's artwork of a label. But then again, if it was a label that I did and it offended a particular group that I knew,
I would think about what it actually was, because I didn't even think about the label. Well, like when I saw the label, I'm thinking more of it's like a piece of history,
right?
Which, I mean, there's been some heinous acts committed in history, and there's been artwork to show that. So,
but that's the thing. Clear. You know, there's been heinous acts committed throughout history. You know, and
yes, absolutely.
There's,
but in the same token, if someone tells me, if I have, say, a Buddha in the backyard, and someone is offended by that and wants me to take the Buddha out of my backyard, I'm going to say, well, no. But if I had a Buddha in the backyard that was getting shot in the head and someone was offended by it, I'd have to maybe take a step back and think,
yeah,
is what I have offensive?
Yeah, but there's no historical, like, reference to Buddhas getting shot in the head.
Right, and I apologize to all the Buddhists out there. Buddha was not shot in the head, as far as I know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they should take this. I mean, I understand people getting offended by it, but I don't know if that's grounds for them to have the right to say you know, you can't use it. I don't know. It's a tough one for me. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, for some people, it's so cut and dry, and they think it's stupid and you know,
right,
just whatever. Who cares what?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can tell you,
please everybody. Kind of
for me, I understand the complaint. I think it's stupid, but I can't tell you why. Like it.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have to research on who else has used labels that could be considered offense. Because, I mean, you do almost anything, and you're going to find somebody offended by it.
Well, they had the Santa's butt. They people were offended right. by that, and they yeah. had to take that. So, see, and that's where the kind of lines get a little bit blurry. Because if you can't take that, if you don't understand that that's tongue-in-cheek and that there's humor in that, then there's something wrong. Really no humor in burning a witch at the stake. So
right,
but so I don't know, it's tough. It's if
well there was a label thing that happened a few months back where some brewery somewhere had a picture of a guy hanging from his neck on the front. You can kind of see him at an angle, you don't see his face or anything, he's kind of facing away, and it's called so and so's ale or whatever, and it was named after a guy who hung himself at the place where the brewery is, so they kind of named it after him. But something happened when they printed the label and the skin looked dark, so then people were thinking that it was like
Jesus,
you know, a throwback to the lynching days of black people and stuff like that, so that had to be changed. There was this huge uproar about that. So I mean, I can see why there would be people that would get offended by this. I don't think that, I mean, I saw some on one of the things on here, somebody was saying, I'm a woman, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but it's not about the gender. And yes, it happened to be mostly women that got this, but that I think that there are also, you know, men and whoever that they thought were pagan or that they thought practiced witchcraft, mm-hmm. that they would
throw
in a lake, or they would drown him in a lake and say, if he lives, then he's.
Yeah.
Possessed, and if he drowns, then he's okay. So, anyway.
All right. We'll check it out. We'll post it on the website.
Yeah, let's hear some.
That's our time.
Let's hear some. Hear some of your guys' opinions.
BeerCoastersPodcast.com/. No, go click on the Hop Topics link.
Yeah, there you go.
It's there. There you go.
All right.
Episode 75.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
All right, folks.
This is somewhere in between. Not everywhere, but somewhere.
Somewhere in between.
Can't be everywhere at once. So for my tasting flight this week, I am trying the Jolly Pumpkin Bam Noir.
Bam!
This is a dark farmhouse ale from Jolly Pumpkin Artisan Ales out of Dexter, Michigan.
Oh, he has bat wings.
Their website is www.jollypumpkin.com. Like I said, this style is a dark farmhouse ale. ABV of 4.3%, so relatively low. Don't have IBUs or ingredients. This is a seasonal release, usually released in September. Rate Beer gives it a 94 out of 100, and the Beer Advocate users give it a big ol' B+.
Big ol' B+.
Big ol'
says cacao.
With that, I'm going to crack it. My my bottle is part of batch 358.
That's a lot of batches.
I see paws.
They're bat wings.
They're ears.
Look, yes, left and right, they're bat wings.
Bat wings. So I got a
no way, dude.
Bunch of head on this guy.
Holy.
Two Yeti fingers.
Yeah, there you go.
I see paws.
Yeah, they have a whole BAM series.
Those are ears. Yes, and I
all
see.
Right, so I got about three fingers of head.
Yes.
Two
Yeti fingers.
And it's not dissipating very quickly, so it's going to be a minute before
I get
there. I
like that glass. What is that?
It's the Stone Levitation Ale glass. Nice.
It's one of my favorites.
So it's interesting because I've never heard of a dark farmhouse ale before.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of the farmhouse / Saison style. I just think it's a very refreshing summertime, really good beer. So the idea of a dark farmhouse is very intriguing.
It's farmhouse winter ale. Yeah?
Yeah.
Sound good? Can we coin that phrase?
On the nose.
In case anyone comes out with it. Farmhouse winter.
On the nose, I get some very malty characters. I get a lot of the Brett characters, so kind of the banana and clove thing going on.
Mmm. Clovey bananas.
Maybe some toffee and some...
A bit of cocoa?
Not a whole lot of... Not as much spice as I would expect from a farmhouse ale. I'm going to take a sip. Oh, the color on it, it's dark.
Triggery.
It's got ruby highlights. It's just very strange to be drinking a Saison and it not be... Because Saisons are traditionally very, very light in color.
Yeah.
And this is not. It has the character of maybe like a dark Abbey. So kind of an amber, reddish color.
Step into the dark Abbey.
Oh, this is... Really tasty.
I want to try that.
It sounds good.
I get
just the style itself sounds good to me.
A little more spice character in the flavor.
That head is retaining well, sir.
I know. The Brett characters are very, very present too, which is nice.
It's very kind of wild yeastiness, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely more spice in the taste than I got in the nose.
Do you get any cocoa in there? They mentioned that in the website. They mentioned the cacao plant.
Cacao!
I get the sort of the cocoa bitterness, but not so much the cocoa sweetness.
Yeah.
It's very tasty.
It sounds like it would be.
Finishes fairly dry. Yeah. It's good. I was going to pair this with something.
There you go. You want to take a minute?
Yeah, this is a hard one. It actually finishes really dry. Yeah.
Like a more dessert or like an entree or...
No, something light like a salad. Like a grilled chicken salad with balsamic vinaigrette. I think would go well with this.
Hmm.
All right.
Interesting.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right.
So that's the BAM Noir from Jolly Pumpkin Artisan Ales.
Pumpkin. Very appropriate. Happy Halloween.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
So, for my tasting flight this week on All Hallows Eve, even though not probably for a couple days, even after this podcast comes out. Anyway, I'm trying Pretty Things Beer and Ale Project, and the beer that I am trying from them is St. Botolph's Town
Rustic Dark Ale.
Boltoffs.
Boltoffs Town.
That's a mouthful.
Yes. And the brewery is Pretty Things Beer and Ale Project out of Westport, Massachusetts. I think previously they were out of Cambridge. Their website is prettythingsbeertoday.com. And this beer is classified as an English brown, but if you read the description of this beer on the website, you'll see that it's an entirely different animal than an English brown. So I suggest you go check that out.
They're comparing it to what? Theakston's Old Peculiar?
Mm-hmm. There's a few English, because the brewer, Dan Paquette, it's Dan and Martha Paquette that own the brewery, and he used to brew in Yorkshire, England, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And this is kind of a take on the beers that he liked from there, and then kind of, you know, brought the New World aspect to the style of beers.
Ah, yes, the New World.
Yes.
So... like it.
So something interesting I read on there is that the whole St. Boltoff's thing, St. Boltoff's Town, is actually where Boston comes from.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of an abbreviation. Right. It's the original Boston, essentially. Right. Yeah.
Is it
in Yorkshire? Right. It's in Yorkshire, England, I believe.
Wow.
Or Lincolnshire.
Lincolnshire, yeah. England. Yeah.
So how about that, Bostonians?
Some history for your ass.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's some geography.
The ABV on this beer is 5.9, I think. I've got some conflicting information. I got 5.7 to 5.9. It says 5.9 on the bottle. It says 5.7 on the website.
Somewhere in there.
It says 5.9 on Beer Advocate.
Always go by the bottle.
Interesting ingredients on this beer. They use malted oats. I didn't get all the ingredients, but I do have some. Malted oats, torrefied wheat, four different types of sugar. They don't specify what types of sugar. And for yeast, they use a German ale strain and a common Belgian strain. So, like I said, not just your sweet English brown ale.
Yeah.
Rates this a 91 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate this an A-, and the Ahlstrom Brothers have weighed in on this beer with an A- as well.
Whoa!
Wow. Yeah, let's see.
Nice.
So I'm going to crack it.
Ooh. Go ahead, Darren. Crack it.
Crack it. You're going to crack it then.
I'm cracking it.
Get to cracking.
And I heard this beer has...
release the crack kind of it.
A really, really good head retention, so...
sorry, guys.
Trying to pour gingerly here. This is going to be... I heard that... anyway, okay. This is a deep, dark brown. Very dark brown. Has kind of a tan head. And I have about two fingers of head. And it's just sitting there. It doesn't look like it's going anywhere at all.
Does it look rustic?
I would say so. It's just...
oh, yeah.
It's very nice.
It's very rustic looking.
Good thick head. Some great head retention. Get that. Kind of sits on your finger. Ooh, I took a taste. I wasn't supposed to do that.
You're also not supposed to put your finger in the beer.
Yeah.
That's going to taste like marinara and pepperoni.
So while this head's dissipating here, I'm going to talk about the aroma. It's almost like a smoky brown sugar, if that's descriptive enough.
Brown sugar, baby.
Get that tiny bit of dark fruitiness. You know, the stuff that we like, or maybe it's just me that likes that kind of, that little bit of tartness, like in a porter or a stout. You can kind of smell that. Like a dark fruit or berry character. Also some bready malts, like a dark wheat or like a honey wheat bread.
Smoky brown sugar, baby.
Some clove in here, too. It's nice. A little bit of hoppiness.
Very nice.
A little bit of hoppiness at the end there. I'm going to take a sip.
Taking a sip, yeah.
6 minutes in. Just now taking a sip.
6 minutes, sip, yeah.
Wow.
6 minutes, 6 minutes, you going to take a sip.
There's a sip, kind sip, of a sip, mix sip, of like sip, a... Sip, sip. Like a toasty malt, or maybe sip. Even like a pear or something. And some of that clove and the brown sugar's coming through too. Some caramel malts.
I mean, it sounds pretty close to an English brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to try it. It has. I was gonna talk about the mouthfeel too. It's got. It's kind of silky, even though the carbonation is really good. It has a very like silky feel on the tongue. It's really nice.
Silky, smoky, brown sugar, baby.
Baby. Good dry finish. There might even be some coffee in there, too. Mm. Man, this is good. If I was going to pair this with anything, I was thinking maybe like lamb chops with, you know, like if you use mint. I think like a roasted lamb with some mint would be perfect with this beer. Because I really think the subtle flavor... That's one thing about pretty things I've mentioned before is everything's kind of delicate. Like everything's very delicate flavors. It's not big, bold, smack you in the face kind of flavor. But it's all there and it's good. Check it out if you get a chance. St. Boltofstown Rustic Dark Ale.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okay, so if there is a show called Night Watch, then the soundtrack better be playing right now. That's all I'm saying. All
right. I know there was a movie with, I think Ewan McGregor was in a few years back.
I think I'm thinking something more like kind of Manimal-ish.
Nice.
Okay, so this is Maritime Pacific Brewing Company. This is the Night Watch Dark Ale.
Oh.
It's Maritime Pacific is out of Seattle, Washington. They've been brewing since 1990 with founders George and Jane Hancock. They like to stress that it's a family-run brewery. Their website is maritimebrewery.guides.net. Yes, ypguides.net. The style is actually an amber / red. Comes in at 5.5%. The hops they use are Mount Hood and Saws. Rate Beer gives this an 88 out of 100 with a B from the Beer Advocate users. Let me go ahead and crack it. Let me just show you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Prove to you that I have it. Have it.
Thanks.
I've been doing lots of Seattle lately. I don't know if you guys noticed.
I'm just waiting for the I've been there stories.
Yeah. I did pick this up when I was in Seattle over the summer.
Here we go.
So it pours out. it pours out a very dark amber. It's like a brownish amber color. Clear. I got about a half finger of head. It's off white.
This company is called Beer Coasters.
Sounds like an old girlfriend.
On the news. <Do-do-do-do-do-do-do>. Ooh, that is stinky. Why do I always get the stinky beers? It kind of smells
maybe
like...
somebody put a hex on you.
It's very musty smelling, but a little bit of toastiness, like a toasted breadiness. There is a little sweetness in the background. All right, the mustiness is going away with the head. Yeah, that's really it. It's kind of a slight toasted breadiness, a little bit of sweetness. I'm going to take a sip.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Tastes more like a brown to me. Hmm. Yeah, it has a really toasted, bready malt character. Very drinkable. There's even a slight grassy hop character. Slightly they dry.
It's what they refer to as like the Northwestern, like original style ale. So they, I guess,
yeah,
specialize in that style.
The brewery itself?
Or just the north? It seems like the Northwest actually has a specific style that they consider kind of their original ale. Huh. Seems like it's an amber, or kind of like a Northwest version of an amber.
Yeah.
So maybe it is a little roastier.
Yeah, kind of it amber. Is. No, I mean, I wouldn't, if I was to do a blind taste test, I wouldn't think that this is an amber or red. I would say that this is a brown ale. Mm. Very roasted characters. Like roasted grainy. Like you really get the grains. A little bit of honey in there as well. Not too bad. For a food pairing, right off the bat, I'm thinking some sort of seasoned fries. So I want to say like pub grub. You know, yeah. Like maybe fish and chips or something like that. But, you know, like French fries. You know, the big steak fries.
Nice.
Yeah, so if you're at a bar and you're having pub
go
grub,
go all I think out and drown them in bacon and cheddar.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, potato wedges with bacon and cheddar. There you go. So that's Maritime Pacific Brewing Company out of Seattle, Washington. That's their Night Watch Dark Ale. There's got to be a saxophone solo somewhere in there.
Okay.
He was born in Seattle, Washington.
His job was to watch the night.
Manimal.
Michael RS83 says, Halloween outfit arrived. It glows in the dark and has an open mouth so I can drink beer. Smiley face.
It's a treat of the week. Treat of the week. It's the treat of the week. Treat. Treat of the week, yeah.
Biggity, 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 backwash. Because it's the biggity, 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 backwash. All right. Can't believe so after 75 episodes, week, we haven't done that yet.
What?
It's the biggity, sure biggity, 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 backwash.
Maybe in our heads.
Yeah.
So for our backwash this week, we've got a little bit of follow-up from our hop topics from last week.
A couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, it was a couple weeks ago.
This was if so a couple
anybody
weeks
has
ago.
Forgotten.
Oh, yeah. My God. It just keeps going and going and going.
Had to do with Prop 19 out in California. So the first bit comes from Crazy Dave. He says, I, too, will be voting yes on Prop 19. However, I do have a concern on the legalization of marijuana. I think there's going to be an opportunity if and when the federal government decriminalizes the production, sales, distribution, possession, and use of marijuana for some industries taking advantage of this, much like tobacco, where companies might have an incentive to make marijuana not only addictive, but potentially dangerous. Much like tobacco companies have modified their products to make them more addictive and added a shit ton of additives, I think that this might happen to marijuana. Somebody's going to take money, making money to an extreme.
Yeah. I like his Freudian slip of spelling in the opportunity. He's got opportunity.
Yeah.
It's very nice. And then shit Tony.
Nice.
That's a great beer coaster word. We're gonna definitely have to use that.
Yeah.
Tony. Dash.
Just keep saying
Tony.
It, Mike. Just keep saying it.
Dash Tony.
Damn it.
So yeah, I mean I think
running out of sound effects people, here.
I think there will be people that use the Prop 19 and the, not Prop 19, but the overall legalization of marijuana to take an advantage of, and, you know, make money to an extreme. And,
yeah,
you know, it'll yeah. You'll create the same.
It's a win-win. It's a win.
No, but you'll create the same type of environment that you have with alcohol. You know, you'll have your big three where they're putting out nothing but crap,
right?
And filling it full of additives to make it as cheap as possible.
Tremendous marketing campaign. It'd be like some of the best ads ever. Yeah.
They're gonna somehow make seeds and stems a bonus,
right?
But then you'll have your people that are
the official bud of the NFL.
Nice.
And then you'll have your people, you know, your craft market that'll cater to connoisseurs, so to speak.
But homegrown.
Toby, I think you had a response to Dave actually on the site.
Yeah, he, you know, talking about modifying their products and putting more addictive and stuff and whatever to them, just like cigarettes. And I said, it's possible there will also be a whole organic product line as well. And then I said, wait a minute, isn't this a show about beer? Damn it.
Are you thinking there's going to be like an American Spirit line of marijuana cigarettes?
Totally.
I'm sure there will be.
There's going to be a whole line of that whole like homegrown pride and organic, and we only use natural whatever, and it's not.
Yeah. See, now I figured that would be like the bridge.
Which is how it is now. It's going to be like those people that are like sticking to the roots. Mm. Not that I know anything about the subject. So.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't think it's.
Yeah.
It's grown from roots. Anyway.
Grassroots.
What do you say, guys?
Yeah.
Last call?
Let's swing into some call. Last call.
Swing call. Halloween swinging.
This is how we're swinging.
All right, everybody. Last call.
Last call. Bitches.
Your last chance for pie.
For pie?
All right.
Yeah.
So we'll start our last call with pint ratings. Mike, what you got?
Oh, what do I got? Well, for the Hop in the Dark, I like it. Partial to the style. It's the flavors that I like. I like a roasted malt character. I like a hoppy beer. I give this one a 4. I think it was really well done. I like it. I like it a lot. I would say it's very similar to Sublimely Self-Righteous. Yeah. A little subtler, but not much, I think.
Yeah. Very close.
It's really close. So, yeah. That's what I give it. 4 pints. For the Pretty Things St. Boltofstown Rustic Dark Ale, I really like this beer. I'm a big fan of Pretty Things. I think I'm kind of biased, even though I did have one that I wasn't that impressed with. I think it was too. The Fluffy White Rabbits. If I can recall.
Yeah,
but this one is great. I give this one a 4.5. I don't know why I'm not giving it a 5. This beer is just tremendous. But 4.5.
Why aren't you giving it a 5?
I don't know. Something's not letting
me. He doesn't know.
I don't
that
know.
Hex.
Yeah, I got an hex put on me. But yeah, 4.5 pints for Pretty Things.
Toby, how about you?
You know, I think it's safe to say that we are not judging to style today because these are like all over the place.
I mean, yeah.
They're very different. They're very interesting. Yeah. So, the Deschutes Hop in the Dark. This is like, you know, it's just one of those styles that I'm really digging on now. I like the the fact that it has best of both worlds. Just like Mike said, it's got the roastiness, it's got the hoppiness, it's got good drinkability.
That's one thing I didn't mention. Very drinkable.
It's just tasty. I'm going to go with 4.5.
Ooh.
Not quite a 5. I'm not sure why. It's not really knocking my socks off. Maybe because I've had stuff that's better than this one. But it's great, man. I would definitely buy this anytime I see it on the shelf. I would say pick it up. Check it out. Maritime Pacific's Night Watch Dark Ale. I like this one too. I mean, it's a brown ale, so of course I'm not going to rate to style here. But it's tasty. I love brown ales, so it tastes better than it smells. I'll say that. But I'll say I'll go with.
I'm sure they're thrilled with your.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with 3.5 on that one. Not bad.
Cougar.
How about you, Chris?
So for my beer this week, the Bam Noir from Jolly Pumpkin, I really enjoyed this beer. I'm a big fan of the Saison style anyway, and I'm also a big fan of sort of mixing styles, so taking the darkness of a porter or a stout or just those more roasted flavors. I really enjoyed. I'm going to give it a 4.
Ooh, lots of 4s.
It's a very tasty beverage. So yeah, that's the Bam Noir from beverage. Jolly Pumpkin.
Cool.
So moving on, our individual shout-outs. I'll give a shout-out to Jolly Pumpkin and JollyPumpkinAles.com. Mike, you
have anything? Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to Pretty Things Beer and Ale Project. That website is prettythingsbeertoday.com. Check them out. Really, really good beers. The brewery's only been around for like a year now. But the brewer has been around the block and back, and he knows what he's doing. So check out his beers.
And I would say check out DeschutesBrewery.com and also maritimebrewery.ypeepguides.net. I know it's funky, but all right.
It's like a Yellow Pages site or something.
Yellow Pages.
Yeah, Yellow Pages guide site.
Weird. Yeah.
Something like that.
So before we move on, I did want to give one more shout out. I wanted to say thank you to Kerry Kelly from Aces and Ales.
Wait.
He was out my way this weekend, and we hung out for a bit. And really cool. He got me into a couple really good shows, and had a really good time. So I want to thank Kerry for that. Check out Aces and Ales. Toby will have a little bit more on that a little bit later. Also, follow us on Twitter. We're Beer Coasters Pod. Also on Facebook. Just look for the Beer Coasters Podcast.
All right. If you got any comments, suggestions, your favorite beer or bar, one of our favorite bars, Aces and Ales, even though I haven't been there, it's a Beer Coaster favorite.
Yes.
You can email us, Backwash. You can email us at backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also leave audio backwash. And that number, that new number, is 339-BACKWASH, BAKWASH. That number is 339-225-9274. Leave us a message. Let us know what you think about the show.
We'll play it on the show.
Yeah.
And don't forget to check out the website, which is beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And if you haven't seen it already, go to podcast.com. 5-star rated.
Also, don't forget to pick up your swag at caffeepress.com/beercoasterspod. I finally got my first t-shirt from them, and it is awesome.
Nice.
As always, tell your friends. Thanks for listening.
Don't forget to check out Aces and Ales. We just were talking about them. They are in Las Vegas, Nevada. Come on in. Let them know that Beer Coaster sent you, and you get your first pint on the his house.
That's right.
They just tapped They just tapped the Sculpin IPA from Ballast Point recently. They have happy hour specials going on, 2-for-1, 12-ounce bottles, all bottled beers. They mix drinks from 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. It's a 24/7 place, too, people, and they have food. Not bad. Let me switch back. And support your local.
Let me switch back.
Support your local brewery by drinking local, because local's fresh, bitches.
Don't drink and drive. That's it for Halloween episode of the Beer Coaster Podcast.
Cheers.
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 Cheers. Ah. Too loud?
Yeah. There.
Wait, wait, wait.
Mike's a witch banger. That's awesome.
6 minutes. 6 minutes. He's going to take a sip.
Sip, sip, sip. Sip, sip, sip. Sip, 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 sip.
Halloween swinging. This is how we're swearing. We're all musical this week.